Luke chapter number 2. Tonight I want to look at what the shepherds are told and also what the shepherds tell. What the shepherds are told and what the shepherds tell. We're going to skip down to verse number 8 and read down to verse number 29. Book of Luke chapter number 2 and start in verse 8. I'm going to read down to verse 20. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for this time of year when we can reflect upon your first coming. Lord, we're thankful tonight that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son, and that you brought him into this world that we might be able to have eternal life. Now, Father, I pray that as we have looked at this marvelous account once again, I pray that you would just bless our hearts from it, open our hearts and our minds, help us to revel in the wondrous things of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. A caution at this time of the year, never allow a narrative that you know so well, like the Christmas story, to become commonplace. Especially when, like it and many other stories or narratives, happenings in the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to Him especially, we never want to lose its significance. And sometimes we can get so caught up in everything that we lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our text is the announcement of the birth of Christ to the shepherds. I find it really quite amazing, and at the same time, it's a tremendous blessing to me as I look and see that it's brought to these people, or these men who were shepherds. They were not on the upper echelons of society. They were really in the lowest of the social structure. These shepherds, being men that were basically loners, tending their flocks and being with them so often and so much. And yet that is who our God came to. He didn't come to a king in his palace. He didn't come to some wealthy businessman. He didn't come to the religious sect. But he came to the common man in the field. I don't know about you, that means a great deal to this guy, because we're common people. Many people don't think that others notice them. Many folks look about and they don't think other people care for them. No doubt somewhere in your life, if you're like most folks, you've thought, well, nobody cares about me. And you thought to yourself, well, nobody ever comes around me. Nobody ever does this or that or whatever. And sometimes we get very inward in those kinds of things. But here's a gesture of our Lord Jesus Christ that ought to help us to understand that He does care for each and every one of us. Isaiah chapter 57, there's a verse there I find captivating. says, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy. Now consider, he's telling us who is speaking. It's God. He's talking about his exalted position. He's talking about who he is in nature as holy. And then he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God and his desire with man is to be around those who don't believe they're great, but they realize who they really are. That we are simple human beings whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves for no reason whatsoever. I take a lot of comfort in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, not many mighty are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Who does God want to use? Well, the same kind of people that he used in his birth. Some shepherds to come and to herald his beginnings. A woman who was really nobody in many regards in her society. One who was not even allowed to spend the night in the inn because it was full, and is relegated to the barn and there to have the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was this announcement given to these men personally, but it was a powerful announcement. The message of the birth of Christ was not unusual as far as a birth is concerned. A birth is not unusual, but the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is extraordinary because there was something quite different about him. First of all, he was born of a virgin, and he was born of God. And we find as a result of that, the angel within this particular text says or gives to him three different titles. We find that it says he is called the Savior. He's a Savior. A Savior is one who would give his life for the sins of his people. He came to save us. He's also called Christ. This is a word which tells us that he is the anointed one. He's the Messiah. In other words, he's the one promised from the very beginning. From that very first prophetic utterance in Genesis 3:15, all the way through the several we find in Isaiah and Micah and Zechariah and all the different prophecies concerning Christ. He is the one that was prefigured in all the sacrifices. He is the one whom God said would come. He's the one that the Jew was anticipating. Every time they offered a sacrifice or kept a feast, he is the Christ. He is the Savior. But he's also called Lord. And when we find that word Lord, it identifies him as the sovereign God. Here's a little baby who was the one who spoke the universe into existence. To think that Almighty God would humble himself to come into this world as a helpless child that we might save, I don't know about you, it's just kind of beyond imagination. But that is our God and what he did for us. And so here the angel came to make known to them some fantastic news. And he said to these shepherds, when you go to seek him out, I want you to understand there are two ways that you can find out or you can know that it is who I'm telling you. There are two signs that I want to give you. And these signs were more than just a location of where he was at, but something that would, I believe, have some significance as well. One of those we find, they said that he would be in a manger. He would be born in a manger, or can we say a stable, a barn. This manger gave them two great truths, by the way. It would be a stable, one that they knew, that we believe from research was actually a birthing stable for lambs. A place they would bring the lambs into when they were about to give birth, that they might be protected from the elements. and there to be able to be with those little lambs for a small period of time. That's interesting in light of the fact that we find that when John was baptizing, he looked up and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so the Lamb of God, born in a place for lambs. This lambs from this stable, we believe, were bred primarily for one use, not to be eaten, but to be used as sacrifices. The Jew was to come at least three times a year to bring their offerings. We find that they could take their lambs that they might have raised, they could turn that into money, if especially they had a distance to travel. And when they got near Jerusalem, they could buy their lambs from some that were close at hand and use them as sacrifice. And thus, many of the lambs that were raised in this area were used for that particular place. And so here these lambs that were bred for special use, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ being brought in this world for special use. A manger is an interesting place as well in the fact that it's a feeding trough for animals. How many of you folks have ever been in a barn, there's animals been in the barn, and animals got fed in that barn? That's kind of a rarity today. And I can remember so well my dad bringing the cattle into the barn, and they would have the, we call them stanchions, and they would come in, the milk cows, and he'd put feed in a bin that was there, and they'd come up walking, put their head inside there, and then he'd just close that bar on them. They couldn't get out, and then he would milk those cows. Other animals at different times would be brought in under the protection of the barn that they might be fed. Now think about it for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ described to us in the Word of God as the bread of life, is he not? And he's the one you and I can partake of. Now, there was a problem when Jesus was born. That problem was when they came to Bethlehem, the inn that they went to, it was full. That inn represents some things in my mind. If I go to an inn, I would probably call it a motel. I'm going there to get some sleep. I'm going to get some rest. Matter of fact, you know, I might probably eat a little bit as well, maybe not right in the motel, but somewhere close at hand. And so that inn at that time represented a place of food and a place of rest. And yet it was full. You know, there's something very unique about this whole thing. Until we realize that the world cannot satisfy us, we'll never search out the manger. As long as we are being fed by this world and we get the rest that we think we need, it's like the rich man, it tells us in the Word of God, it's difficult for him to come to Christ because he does not see his need. And it's a scene that, listen, so many never really ever come to that spot. And the reality of it is never really their own. And so here's a manger that these shepherds came to, and it was a sign to them that a baby would be born there. I mean, how many societies would they say, well, you got to take your child or you got to go out to the barn and have your child born? And yet this is what took place. So there was a sign of that. The second sign we find is they said that you would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes, they were strips of cloth that would be bound about the legs and the arms and the torso of the body, somewhat to restrict their movement. And it would provide for that child extra warm and probably somewhat cooler, especially at night there, especially out in a barn than it would be in some human habitat, and thus to help keep him warm at night. Those swaddling clothes would also protect really from the prickliness of a straw. I don't know if you ever laid down in straw or not, but I mean there is the, it does have its good side, but it can kind of prick you at night somewhat. When I was in Boy Scouts as a youngster, I remember going on campouts and they would give us big bags, basically. They call them ticks. And we go up, and there was a barn filled with straw, and we grabbed straw and put it into those, and that would be our mattress for the week. You wanted to make sure you had a nice blanket over the top of it, or it might be kind of prickly through the night. And so here these swaddling clothes would help with that. Now, there's something unusual about that, because these swaddling clothes represent something else. When we talk about strips of cloth to the Jew and to people of that time, it was also that which they would often use in grave clothes, and they would wrap the body in these things. And that gives us a tremendous picture for a moment, because what did Jesus do? He came to die, did he not? He came to be our Savior. And so here these shepherds come. They find one who's in a barn. They find one in the manger. They find him in swaddling clothes, that which is similar to grave clothes. And certainly I believe they might understand something very vividly after the angel had sang to them when John said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Perhaps they're reminded of the psalm in chapter 23, the great shepherd's psalm that we find there. Now we think about the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's a whole lot more for us than to just look at the manger and say, "Oh, that is nice." I think it's a whole lot more than just get some good feelings down inside. Listen, if Jesus Christ were born in Bethlehem 1,000 times, but not within you, you'll be eternally lost. Is that not true? And you can get all sentimental about Christmas and have a warm, fuzzy feeling, but if Christ is not born in your heart, it's really a mockery of the reason he came. And of course, you and I, we will probably be with some family members, we'll no doubt be around some friends. They don't know Christ, their Savior. And it's our responsibility, like the shepherds who went back and told others, to tell them about Jesus Christ. How are they going to know the truth if we tell them not? And so that becomes very critical. I want you to notice verse number 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16. In verse 14, we find the multitude of heavenly hosts. They were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then verse 15, "It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.'" I want you to think about for a moment. God revealed some things to them and told them where they could find the Lord Jesus Christ. But had they not gone, they would have never found him. And when you and I are disobedient to the calling of God, the invitation of God, we miss out on what he has for us. And it tells us in verse 16, they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then we see something in verse 17. And it says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." It's an amazing thing when we come to know Christ as our Savior, when we've met the Christ who was born in that manger in Bethlehem, there's something that takes place in our hearts. And those who came because they had heard now become those who go and tell. What a privilege it is ours to be able to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those who hear the message, they may come to Christ, they may reject Christ, but it's our job to give them the message. There are those we might look at and say, "Oh, they'll never listen to us," when in fact they may be the very ones that will. Sometimes we look at somebody and think that they're very hardened and they're just not the kind that's going to listen, and yet they're the ones who do. And then sometimes those who seem to be so accepting are the ones who are looking at you, and in their heart and their mind they're saying no whatsoever. But it's our job to give that wonderful message unto those round about us. And that message is that Jesus came to save. Amen. Born in a manger, born in that old smelly barn, showing us his humility, showing us that he came for all of us, that he could be just like us. He shed all the glory of heaven to come here to present himself as the Lamb of God. There in those swaddling clothes, showing to us what he was going to do 33 years later as he hung upon the cross of Calvary. And to be wrapped in those same types of clothes, being prepared for his burial. And then to be 3 days later rising from that grave. And for those grave clothes to be left. What a marvelous Savior we have. Amen. I realize I mentioned it Sunday. I realize that there are many within Christian ranks who ridicule and get all upset about Christmas. I understand that to some degree. I guess I can understand why they do and want to relegate it to everything else. But I've looked at this thing and thought, you know, he came. I'm excited he came. And so when we got a song like Joy to the World, wow, it is joy. Amen. When we hear the song says, come all ye faithful, how we need to come to him constantly. And I was really watching those words on God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and the truth that was projected in that song and all the different songs we sing, the different things you folks talked about tonight, opportunities to be with families and to experience what we don't always experience, and what a blessing that is, amen? To hear the singing, to be with families, and as one mentioned, the privilege to give. The privilege to give and to be a blessing unto other folks. It's something that it's just overwhelming. My thoughts of Christmas initially was receiving, and it's about giving. You know, it gets given to me too, but that's not the purpose. And what a blessing it is, because God so loved, he gave. Amen. And praise the Lord for the privilege and opportunity. And several other things that were remarked about tonight. I look at all these things and say, praise God, he came. Praise the Lord, he came. And this year, we get to come back on Sunday morning, what is this told us to be actual Christmas Day. I really don't think it was the actual day he was born, but it didn't matter. We get to be together, sing some of those songs, and look at the Word of God, and it's exciting. Be in the book of Isaiah, by the way, this Sunday, and looking at what some prophecy said concerning his coming the first time. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God in his desire with man is to be around those who don't believe they're great, but they realize who they really are, that we are simple human beings whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves for no reason whatsoever. I take a lot of comfort in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, not many mighty are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Who does God want to use? Well, the same kind of people that he used in his birth. Some shepherds to come and to herald his beginnings. A woman who was really nobody in many regards in her society, one who was not even allowed to spend the night in the inn because it was full, and is relegated to the barn and there to have her to have the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was this announcement given to these men personally, but it was a powerful announcement. The message of the birth of Christ was not unusual as far as a birth is concerned. A birth is not unusual, but the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is extraordinary because there was something quite different about him. First of all, he was born of a virgin, and he was born of God, and we find as a result of that, the angel within this particular text says or gives to him three different titles. We find that it says he is called the Savior. He's a Savior. A Savior is the one who would give his life for the sins of his people. He came to save us. He's also called Christ, This is a word which tells us that he is the anointed one. He's the Messiah. In other words, he's the one promised from the very beginning. From that very first prophetic utterance in Genesis 3:15, all the way through the several we find in Isaiah and Micah and Zechariah and all the different prophecies concerning Christ. He is the one that was prefigured in all the sacrifices. He is the one whom said God said would come. He's the one that the Jew was anticipating. Every time they offered a sacrifice or kept a feast, he is the Christ. He is the Savior. But he's also called Lord. And when we find that word Lord, it identifies him as the sovereign God. Here's a little baby who was the one who spoke the universe into existence. To think that Almighty God would humble himself to come into this world as a helpless child that we might save, I don't know about you, it's just kind of beyond imagination. But that is our God and what he did for us. And so here the angel came to make known to them some fantastic news. And he said to these shepherds, when you go to seek him out, I want you to understand there are two ways that you can find out or you can know that it is who I'm telling you. There are two signs that I want to give you. And these signs were more than just a location of where he was at, but something that would, I believe, have some significance as well. One of those we find, they said that he would be in a manger. He would be born in a manger, or can we say a stable, a barn. This manger gave them two great truths, by the way. It would be a stable, one that they knew, that we believe from research was actually a birthing stable for lambs. A place they would bring the lambs into when they were about to give birth, that they might be protected from the elements, and there to be able to be with those little lambs for a small period of time. That's interesting in light of the fact that we find that when John was baptizing, he looked up and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so the Lamb of God, born in a place for lambs. The lambs from this stable, we believe, were bred primarily for one use, not to be eaten, but to be used as sacrifices. The Jew was to come at least three times a year to bring their offerings. We find that they could take their lambs that they might have raised. They could turn that into money, especially if they had a distance to travel. And when they got near Jerusalem, they could buy their lambs from some that were close at hand and use them as sacrifice. And thus, many of the lambs that were raised in this area were used for that particular place. And so here these lambs that were bred for special use, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ being brought in this world for special use. A manger is an interesting place as well in the fact that it's a feeding trough for animals. How many of you folks have ever been in a barn, there's animals been in the barn, and animals got fed in that barn? That's kind of a rarity today. And I can remember so well my dad bringing the cattle into the barn, and they would have we call them stanchions, and they would come in, the milk cows, and he'd put feed in a bin that was there, and they'd come up, walk, and put their head inside there, and then he'd just close that bar on them. They couldn't get out, and then he would milk those cows. Other animals at different times would be brought in under the protection of the barn that they might be fed. Now think about it for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ described to us in the Word of God as the bread of life, is he not? And he's the one you and I can partake of. Now, there was a problem when Jesus was born. That problem was when they came to Bethlehem, the inn that they went to, it was full. That inn represents some things in my mind. If I go to an inn, I would probably call it a motel. I'm going there to get some sleep. I'm going to get some rest. Matter of fact, you know, I might probably eat a little bit as well, maybe not right in the motel, but somewhere close at hand. And so that inn at that time represented a place of food and a place of rest. And yet it was full. You know, there's something very unique about this whole thing. Until we realize that the world cannot satisfy us, we'll never search out the manger. As long as we are being fed by this world and we get the rest that we think we need, it's like the rich man, it tells us in the Word of God, it's difficult for him to come to Christ because he does not see his need. And it's a scene that, listen, so many never really ever come to that spot. And the reality of it is never really their own. And so here's a manger that these shepherds came to, and it was a sign to them that a baby would be born there. I mean, how many societies would they say, well, you got to take your child or you got to go out to the barn and have your child born? And yet this is what took place. So there was a sign of that. The second sign we find is they said that you would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes. They were strips of cloth that would be bound about the legs and the arms and the torso of the body, somewhat to restrict their movement. And it would provide for that child extra warm and probably somewhat cooler, especially at night there, especially out in a barn than it would be in some human habitat, and thus to help keep him warm at night. Those swaddling clothes would also protect really from the prickliness of a straw. I don't know if you ever laid down in straw or not, but I mean there is it does have its good side, but it can kind of prick you at night somewhat. When I was in Boy Scouts as a youngster, I remember going on campouts and they would give us big bags, basically, they call them ticks, and we go up and there was a barn filled with straw and we grabbed straw and put it into those, and that would be our mattress for the week. You wanted to make sure you had a nice blanket over the top of it, or it might be kind of prickly through the night. And so here these swaddling clothes would help with that. Now there's something unusual about that, because these swaddling clothes represent something else. When we talk about strips of cloth, to the Jew and to people of that time, it was also that which they would often use in grave clothes. And they would wrap the body in these things. And that gives us a tremendous picture for a moment. Because what did Jesus do? He came to die, did he not? He came to be our Savior. And so here these shepherds come. They find one who's in a barn. They find one in the manger. They find him in swaddling clothes, that which is similar to grave clothes. And certainly I believe they might understand something very vividly after the angel had sang to them. When John said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Perhaps they're reminded of the psalm in chapter 23, the great shepherd psalm that we find there. Now we think about this story, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's a whole lot more for us than to just look at the manger and say, oh, that is nice. I think it's a whole lot more than just get some good feelings down inside. Listen, if Jesus Christ were born in Bethlehem 1,000 times, but not within you, you'll be eternally lost. Is that not true? And you can get all sentimental about Christmas and have a warm, fuzzy feeling, but if Christ is not born in your heart, it's really a mockery of the reason he came. And of course, you and I, we will probably be with some family members, we'll no doubt be around some friends. They don't know Christ, their Savior. And it's our responsibility, like the shepherds who went back and told others, to tell them about Jesus Christ. How are they going to know the truth if we tell them not? And so that becomes very critical. I want you to notice verse number 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16. In verse 14, we find the multitude of heavenly hosts, they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I want you to think about for a moment. God revealed some things to them and told them where they could find the Lord Jesus Christ. But had they not gone, they would have never found him. And when you and I are disobedient to the calling of God, the invitation of God, we miss out on what he has for us. And it tells us in verse 16, they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then we see something in verse 17. And it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. It's an amazing thing when we come to know Christ as our Savior, when we've met the Christ who was born in that manger in Bethlehem. There's something that takes place in our hearts. And those who came because they had heard now become those who go and tell. What a privilege it is ours to be able to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those who hear the message, they may come to Christ, they may reject Christ, but it's our job to give them the message. There are those we might look at and say, oh, they'll never listen to us, when in fact they may be the very ones that will. Sometimes we look at somebody and think that they're very hardened and they're just not the kind that's going to listen, and yet they're the ones who do. And then sometimes those who seem to be so accepting are the ones who are looking at you, and in their heart and their mind they're saying no whatsoever. But it's our job to give that wonderful message unto those round about us. And that message is that Jesus came to save. Amen. Born in a manger. Born in that old smelly barn. Showing us his humility. Showing us that he came for all of us. That he could be just like us. He shed all the glory of heaven to come here to present himself as the Lamb of God. There in those swaddling clothes, showing to us what he was going to do 33 years later as he hung upon the cross of Calvary, and then to be wrapped in those same types of clothes, being prepared for his burial, and then to be 3 days later rising from that grave, and for those grave clothes to be left. What a marvelous Savior we have. Amen. I realize, I mentioned it Sunday, I realize that there are many within Christian ranks who ridicule and get all upset about Christmas. I understand that. To some degree, I guess I can understand why they do and want to relegate it to everything else. But I've looked at this thing and thought, you know, he came. I'm excited he came. And so when we got a song like Joy to the World, wow, it is joy. Amen. When we hear the song says, come, all ye faithful, how we need to come to him constantly. And I was really watching those words on God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and the truth that was projected in that song and all the different songs we sing. The different things you folks talked about tonight, opportunities to be with families and to experience what we don't always experience. And what a blessing that is, amen? To hear the singing, to be with families, and as one mentioned, the privilege to give. The privilege to give and to be a blessing unto other folks. It's something that... It's just overwhelming. My thoughts of Christmas initially was receiving, and it's about giving. You know, it gets given to me too, but that's not the purpose. And what a blessing it is, because God so loved, he gave. Amen. And praise the Lord for the privilege and opportunity, and several other things that were remarked about tonight. I look at all these things and say, praise God, he came. Praise the Lord, he came. And this year, we get to come back on Sunday morning, what is just told us to be actual Christmas Day. I really don't think it was the actual day he was born, but it didn't matter. We get to be together, sing some of those songs, and look at the Word of God. And it's exciting. Be in the book of Isaiah, by the way, this Sunday. And looking at what some prophecy said concerning his coming the first time.